welcome into the GSU Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a great Wednesday. It's hump day. Happy hump day, right? We're that much closer. That much closer. I don't, you guys can't see my hand. Fingers real close here. That much closer to Friday. We all know Friday. Friday is the day we all look for. I actually don't have much of a problem most days. Actually, Mondays don't bother me that much either. But either way, happy hump day. Hope you guys are having a good day, just like we are here at the studio. I actually just got back not too long ago from the GSU satellite camp at the GSU football complex. I'll tell you a little more about that here in a little while, maybe towards the end of the show. But first, I want to get into some of these things that are going on for the baseball team. And there are a good bit of things. I'm going to get into them here. So without further ado, let's go on out of the ballpark. Now, first thing I want to tell you is that catcher Joey Roach and shortstop Justin Jones have been named to the COSIDA, COSIDA Academic All-American Team. Congratulations, guys. Basically, what that means now is that Joey Roach is a two-time Academic All-American as he earned first-team honors to follow his second-team recognition in 2015. And Justin Jones is a third-team selection. He was on the third team this year, has the highest GPA, 4.04, on the 34-member Academic All-American Team. So congratulations, guys, on that. You guys continue to do some tremendous things. And if we look back in the last previous years as far as the COSIDA Academic All-American Team, like I said, this year Joey Roach and Justin Jones are on it for baseball. Last year Joey Roach was on it for baseball and Callie Alford was on it for softball. And it's actually been a couple years before that, before the next one would be on there. But congratulations to those two. They absolutely deserve it. Good luck to Joey and all his future endeavors and such. And I know a lot of you guys ask me this question. When you guys ask me questions, I do my due diligence to try to find the answers, because a lot of times it's the same questions I have. You guys ask me, what does the baseball team do in the off season? Well, they play baseball. And as
it's funny because it's true.
Yep, it is funny. And it is absolutely true. What do? They play in summer leagues, basically. The equivalent of collegiate minor league teams, so to say. There's a lot of leagues all over the place. And I'm going to go pretty much player by player. I'll tell you what league they're going to be in and what team you can find them on. If you happen to be traveling around seeing family this summer, or you happen to be in one of these areas and want to check out your favorite player, here's how you can do it. We'll start with Justin Jones, since, you know, we just talked about him being on the COSIDA Academic All-American Team. Shortstop Justin Jones, who will be an upcoming junior this year, is going to play in the Cape Cod League, where he's played, I believe, the last couple years, for the Orleans Firebirds. He's going to be in a Firebird. Center fielder and rising senior Ryan Blanton is going to be in the New England Collegiate Baseball League, where he is going to play for the Ocean State Waves, which are out of Rhode Island. Also joining him on that team is third baseman and rising senior Jarrett Hood. Like I said, both of them be on the Ocean State Waves. You're up in the Rhode Island area, or if you're somewhere near a team that plays in the New England Collegiate Baseball League, be sure to go check those out. Catcher and rising sophomore Nick Gatewood is also going to be in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. But he's going to play for the Danbury Westerners, who are out of Connecticut. And right-handed pitcher and rising senior Bryce Connolly is also in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. he's going to play for the Danbury Westerners as well. So at least they get to be teammates a couple more times there. First baseman in Rising Junior, Jack Thompson, is going to be in the Hamptons League. He's going to be on the Sag Harbor Whalers. So if you're in the Sag Harbor area and you want to check out the Whalers game, you'll get to see Jack Thompson on that one. Pitcher and outfielder, Rising Junior, Rhett Harper, is going to be in the Valley League, which is out of Virginia. He's going to be on the Strasburg Express. Pretty cool name. If you're a fan of that guy. Outfielder and Rising Senior Jalen Woolard is going to be in the Valley League as well, except for he's going to be on the Winchester Royals. Outfielder and Rising Sophomore Darius Sewell will be in the Northwoods League. He'll be on the Lakeshore Chinooks. Pretty cool. I bet they got a cool helicopter design or something like that. That's out of Wisconsin. Right-handed pitcher and Rising Senior Brandon Baker is going to be in the Northwoods League as well. He's going to be on the Lakeshore Chinooks with Darius. Let's see. A bunch of GSU Panthers are going to be on the same team here. Let's see. Outfielder and Rising redshirt sophomore Luke Leonard. Outfielder and Rising Junior Will Johnson, and right-handed pitcher and redshirt sophomore Liam Hendry are all going to be in the Sun Belt League, which is out of Atlanta, on the Brookhaven Bucks. And in fact, the rest of the players I'm going to name are going to be in the Sun Belt League as well. Infielder and Rising sophomore Lucas Boudreau is also in the league. We don't know what team he's on currently. Let's see. Shortstop and infielder as well. Rising sophomore Israel Zachary will be on the Alpharetta Braves in the Sun Belt League. The Carrollton Clippers in the Sun Belt League are going to welcome Rising senior catcher Brandon Gonzalez. Infielder Andy Burnett. Right-handed pitcher Brian White. Right-handed pitcher Chris Mejias are all also in the Sun Belt League. So if you're in the Atlanta area, you can catch a lot of these Sun Belt guys. They are all over the state, for the most part, the Atlanta metro area, I believe. And you'll be able to check them out from there. That's pretty cool. I didn't know those places existed, and now I know. And now you guys know. So definitely pretty cool, huh? Now, another question that you guys had. Was about these satellite camps, like the one I went to today. Wanted to know, what are these satellite camps all about? How do they work? Those kinds of things. Well, since I attended both sessions today, I can tell you. Of course, today I went out to the GSU football complex, which is right there on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. You guys know where that's at. It's like right down the street from the school. It's a pretty cool complex. I'll get into the complex a little bit later on. But the way these work, today there was a 10 to 12 session. And then there was a 2 to 4 session. Like I said, I ended up staying for both. About 160 total kids were able to come out to this camp, according to the unofficial numbers I was told. Basically, this is anybody who is not graduated high school yet. There was an age limit on it. And it was a chance for them to get in front of the eyes of collegiate coaches, as Ole Miss, Missouri, and actually Valdosta State all had guys there, besides your GSU Panthers complete coaching staff. Had all those guys there where they could get, you know, they could work one-on-one with a lot of these guys. They split up into groups. They would do team drills, do position drills, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, but if you're in high school and you're wanting to get better, I encourage you to go to one of these camps. I think it's only like $50 to come register. They pretty much put you through a lot of the combine drills. They do position drills. They do some team-related stuff. But you really get work on your craft, on what you're trying to do. So if you're an offensive lineman, so that you have your hands in the right position, or that, you know, you're attacking the defender and not just waiting to block him and those kinds of things. Maybe it's footwork. If you're a receiver, maybe you need help route running. All this stuff you can learn there. You can work on your mechanics. You have some of the top-notch coaches in the nation that are able to work with you on this. Camp went real well. It went just spectacular, really. The first camp had a good many people. The second camp still didn't have quite as many, but, you know, still a good turnout. That's all the coaches are there. Shout out to Ben Moore from 24/7 Sports and GSU Panther Talk that I spoke with for a good while there. Also, David Sheely and Rashad Milligan from Primetime Sports were also there, and The Signal. Shout out to those guys. Talked to a bunch of parents. I mean, you guys know me. I talked to everybody. Talked to a lot of parents and a lot of, you know, some out-of-towners and stuff like that, and just tried to get a general vibe of what was going on. You know, the kids were trying hard. I didn't see any of these kids give up at all. Not one of them, not a receiver running a route, not a defensive back covering a receiver, not an offensive lineman who had been doing this for an hour and a half. No. Nobody gave up. Nobody had that look of defeat. Everybody was trying hard. Everybody was pushing. And a good many offers were sent forth today. You know, don't have an official total, but let's just say that there was a good handful with the potential for a couple more because, I mean, like I said, some people were freshmen and sophomores, stuff like that. But I'm not going to, you know, I don't have the official total, but let's just say that Panther Nation, we grew Panther Nation today. And I don't know about any of the other two or three schools that were there, if they were able to extend an offer or anything like that, but, you know, kudos and congratulations to those kids and the Georgia State staff for putting on such a great event. I was able to talk to a field assistant on the team, Coach Mason. I was able to talk to defensive coordinator Jesse Benner, Coach Benner. I was able to talk to, obviously, Coach Trent Miles. Shout out to you, Coach. I appreciate the time because I know you're busy. And actually, I appreciate also Coach Miles gave me a tour of the facility with the help of student athlete and potential starting quarterback Amir Scaife, and also some of the assistants in the weight room that were showing me around that new facility. I hadn't seen it yet. I hadn't been able to come down to that facility. So when Coach Miles found out I hadn't been down the facility, he made sure I got the grand tour. He answered my questions. He answered the questions you guys have posed to me on different things. In fact, one, you guys wanted to know the difference between a cold tub and a hot tub, besides the obvious temperature of the water in it. Coach Miles explained it to me this way. If you're trying to loosen up and maybe you got tightness in a muscle or something like that, then you get in a hot tub. But if you just finished working out, then you want to get in a cold tub or something of the such, because it'll help with the recovery. It'll help get circulation to the muscles the way it needs to be. So appreciate the insight on that, because I have a lot of friends that are professional athletes and that play in all different sports. And I've never asked him that question, but I always think about it because they always say, yeah, I got to go getting in the cold tub, or yeah, I'm talking to you, I'm in the cold tub, or that. I never put it together to ask, but enough of you guys asked. So I asked Coach, and Coach was able to tell me that. So shout out to you, Trent Miles. Not only your awesome dad and to your four kids and husband, your wife, you got an awesome family, but you got a great coaching staff. Everybody was super. I talked to Coach Minner about the defense and about these kinds of camps and about working with his dad, who is just a long-tenured, phenomenal defensive coach. I believe he's the linebackers coach and an assistant, actually, to Jesse on the team, Rick Minner. Look him up, guys. If you don't know who Rick Minner is, defensive coach, look him up. That guy is coaching royalty. And that make, and Jesse's pretty much coaching royalty as well. But shout out to those guys, like I said, and Coach Mason, who did a fantastic job with the quarterbacks and such that were there today. But that, you know, that was one of the questions you guys had asked, so I wanted to make sure that when I got the opportunity, I asked that question. So now you know the answer to that. I said, all in all, today was fun. It was a lot more relaxed than a lot of media events that I attend and just overall sports events that you go to. It's really a fun day. And a special shout out back to Ben Moore there. Like I said, he recommended, I told him I was going to probably stay for the second session. The first one went a little long, but I was going to stay for the second, and I asked him a good place to eat lunch around there. He recommended a barbecue place that's within like a 3-minute walk of the facility. It's called, I believe, Daddy D's Barbecue. Fantastic. I partook in some of the food they had there. It's very good. I will do my best to make it back there as many times as I can. That place, very good. And it's kind of a smaller place, so, you know, you may have to get it to go if you can't find a place to sit in there. But tons of tables, really. You just got to make sure you get there so you get one. But shout out to Daddy D's Barbecue. It's, wow, it was good. I've had a lot of barbecue. We live down here in the South, but that was some good barbecue. So thanks, Ben, as far as that. And there was one like, oh, this thing just dropped today, actually. It dropped that the Sun Belt Conference has got together and decided, starting in 2018, there's going to be a Sun Belt Football Championship. Yep, a Sun Belt Football Conference Championship. It is going to be I'm trying to read the thing here. I don't know if it says where the first one's going to be yet. Maybe they haven't decided that. Because there is 10 current teams in the Sun Belt. They may add a couple more later, but they're good going ahead as 10. Details regarding how the two participants will be selected, how they'll be selected, will be available at a later date. Rules set forward by the Division I Council in January require conferences with fewer than 12 members to hold championship games in football as long as they meet one or two conditions. Conference can choose to either play their championship game between division winners after round-robin competition in each division or between the top two teams in the conference standings following full round-robin regular season competition between all members in the conference. So they're going to decide how they're going to do that. We don't know where the first one's going to be yet or how you can quite qualify for it, but make sure you stay tuned to us and to GeorgiaStateSports.com for all the details on that. And I think that's actually going to do it for us this week. So if you get a chance to check out these satellite camps, there's a couple more of them coming up soon. But it's going to do it for me. So thanks to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact Dork. Thanks to Impact Media. We'll see you guys next week on GSU Panther Zone. Go Panthers.
missed it by that much.